What did Buddha realize?
The truth.
Pardon? Yes. But what about now? There is no word like the Four Noble Truths or anything, but there are realities right now. Did he realize whatever appears then or now or tomorrow? Yeah. So this is the point of studying the teachings, to know what Buddha realized. It has to be whatever which is now appearing, no matter long time ago or today. It must be that which is now appearing. Did he realize seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching? And after his realization, what did he teach about all that he had realized? Otherwise, it's useless, because it's only him who can realize. But that is not true, because reality can be realized by anyone who had accumulation to be able to listen, to think about what is now appearing. The truth, when we talk about the truth or the noble truth, it has to be of what? Of whatever now appears. So when we talk about the Dhamma, we don't talk about other things beside that which is now appearing. But it's so very, very difficult to even listen to the teachings carefully in order to follow the teachings. If we think that he taught about the Four Noble Truths, we think about the first, the second, the third, and the fourth. But where are those Dhammas? What about now? Is this not that Buddha taught about? So since it's so very, very difficult, this is why we keep on talking about whatever appears, in order to begin to have the firm foundation of understanding of the truth, that it has to be this moment. Otherwise, we keep on thinking, trying to find other way to support or to think that that can condition the understanding of whatever appears now. But actually, it has to be the confidence or the firm confidence on what Buddha had realized. It has to be now. That's why we keep on talking about seeing. Otherwise, when will there be conditions for right awareness with right understanding to begin, just to begin to understand directly, seeing now, hearing now? So if one does not realize that what Buddha taught must be studied very carefully about whatever appears, then there's no condition for right awareness to begin to study the first noble truth of suffering, the truth of suffering. Because suffering, which is the noble truth, must be the arising and falling away of whatever appears now. See, we keep on thinking, understanding that seeing arises and falls away, but that's not enough. But in order to understand more and more, which Buddha taught for 45 years, all about realities, so it begins to develop the understanding of whatever appears.
So now it's, let's say, in a good state of health, so it's difficult to, not any disease or any pain or any itch anywhere. So it's difficult to see that it's suffering at the level of just rising and falling away.
Can you see by yourself? Or it's the understanding only which can begin to develop, to understand, not to see. Now the seeing, who sees it? But there can be a moment of understanding it, as it sees it, not me. That which sees now is not me, not anyone at all. If it does not arise, whatever appears now cannot appear. Whisper object or whatever we think, like people and things, cannot appear. So even just visible object, which seeing arises to see, is a condition for seeing to arise. So each moment, very, very tiny, very, very short moment of arising and falling away, it's there by conditions, only by conditions. That's why we think of Patichasamupata, but it's not just avijja condition, sankhara, but by what way, what kind of paccaya, see. He pointed the details of everything so that there can be more development of understanding little by little until there are conditions enough to be direct understanding of seeing gradually, little by little, before the reality can appear as what we has heard from the very beginning, that no self in it at all. And this is the beginning. If you try to begin other way, there is no understanding of whatever now sees, hears, think. Any part of Tipitaka concerns realities right now.
Lana, I think you are thinking about the aspect of dukkha, the unpleasant feeling, the painful bodily feeling, the difficulty in life, but not the aspect of dukkha of that applies to all conditioned dhammas as taught about when the Buddha taught the Four Noble Truths. So actually even this moment of seeing is dukkha because it arises and falls away without understanding seeing, impossible to understand its arising and falling away in. Possible to understand the dukkha characteristic of that seeing. So it's not just unpleasant feeling or painful bodily feeling that's dukkha, but all conditioned realities. That's why it always has to come back to understanding present realities, even for understanding dukkha or anything.
Yeah, I think it's the high level to understanding the suffering at the level of rising and passing away. Okay.
But can it be directly experienced? Possible, because it's now arise and falls away. It's the truth, the first noble truth. Otherwise, no condition to understand directly the first noble truth. It has to be the panya which has developed from hearing, considering, understanding. So all the teachings concern anatta, no self, no one, no matter here or there. Otherwise, it's not the teachings of the Buddha at all. If there's still the self, try this way or that way, that is not the following the teachings correctly.
And when, like in our discussion this morning, if someone has the idea that maybe when one's working that somehow it's not the right time, or when one's following entertainment, it's not so useful for Dharma, and that it would be more useful if one was just reading suttas, for example, can one say this is the lack of understanding of Dharmas as anatta at that at such a time?
So don't forget the characteristic of reality is anatta, anicchang, dukkhang, and anatta. Who was born? Who was born?
Who was born? I don't understand the question.
Who was born?
No one.
Chitta.
Chitta, cetasika, and rupa. The first moment of life, and continue on to be citta, cetasika, and rupa. Nothing else.
And no matter the circumstances,
no matter the way of life, it's still just citta being born at each moment, citta and cetasikas, and rupa.
And who dies?
Citta.
Citta, cetasika, rupa. Did you dream last night?
No, I didn't.
Did you have the fast asleep moment? Who? No one at all. But as soon as one wakes up, it's me. There is seeing, hearing, smelling, and things around. But in the absolute truth, each reality is conditioned to arise and falls away instantly. Today or yesterday, there are many things happen yesterday, but at the moment of being fast asleep, where are those moments that we take for self or I? Nothing is left. So the last moment of this life, exactly the same. But the previous citta conditions the next citta in next life by akamma, with the accumulation of lots of kamma to be conditioned for anything to happen in that life again and again. But everything goes by. Nothing's left. And this samsara, because we'll be this person not for long at all. And then what? See? So it's time to study and understand the teachings to be accumulated, to be conditioned for hearing more, understanding more, understand the truth more and more. Because one day everything must be gone completely, never come back. So life keeps on going from one life to another life, and no one can remember what was last life at all. And so after death, no one remember what was this life. So it's true just at moment when it arises and falls away. And one learns to understand the anatta, the anicchang, dukkhang, to be the follower of the teachings, following his teachings with understanding of whatever appears. So it's long, long time before right awareness can arise, be aware, and with understanding of seeing that we have heard a lot, not only this life, maybe last life, and for next life we has heard now. We have heard about it now, to be conditioned for hearing it again, developing little by little to understand it as not self.
But it seems like we can choose what we see, we can choose what we
Can you choose citta to arise, whether it is seeing or hearing or thinking right now?
No.
See? Even thinking is conditioned. But the idea of self takes anything which appears as I can do or I cannot. But actually, it's only citta which arises. So very, very rapidly, like the spinning top, no one can see when it turns on and on and on. It seems like it doesn't turn at all. Even the light or anything seeing right now, it seems like it stays the same one, but actually it's not at all. In split second, and the other cittas cannot perform the function of seeing at all. Just one moment of only one citta can arise and see and follow it. The next one does not perform the function of seeing, but it seems like it sees, but actually it receives that object which is seen by performing the function of sampatichana, receiving, only receiving. But the rupa hasn't fallen away yet, so it's there, but it does not perform the function of seeing. See, this is the way to understand that there is no self in any reality. Otherwise, how can there be less and less attachment, even at moment of thinking?
Ajahn, can that be that there's no one to choose this or that, but is that the choosing only with the idea of my
thinking?
Choosing?
No, if you still have the latent tendency of wrong view of self, it's there. We don't have to call and say that this is this or this is that. So at that moment, you don't need to say that it's self who's thinking, but it's there. That's like Buddha taught in detail about the 89 cittas. They are different by conditions.
So the choosing is also
non-self?
Thinking. It's not seeing, it's not hearing, it's not smelling, it's not tasting, it's not touching. Because Buddha used the special word for these 10 cittas, uppatti. And the other cittas, nippatti, see, to indicate the difference between even the 10 from other cittas. So it's the very exact moment which sees, only that. But after that, it's not the 10. Because it's different. But it seems like they're seeing all the time. But what is in between? The receiving consciousness, the santarina, the votapana, the kusla, akusla, are all gone. It seems like the seeing, but seeing and whisper object also pass away, completely gone. We almost can say that as soon as it has arisen, it falls away as rapidly as that. That's why the Mahasatipatthana is when the sati arises, the object appears better or well than usual. So very slightly, because there is right understanding and sati. So the person who doesn't have sati sampajanya or satipatthana arising cannot imagine the characteristic of sati sampajanya. Because it has to be so very natural, with right understanding, and then no more. But when there are conditions for attachment, attachment arises with intention just to have it more and more. See, that is wrong path. That's why the silapatta pramarsa, the wrong practice or the wrong, what do you call it, must be eradicated only by sotapattimakkacitta. It means that even along the way, there must be wrong practice, but more subtle. not like believing in the creators or whatever misunderstanding is there.
So it means sometimes it seems to be that that wrong view does not appear obviously, but it's still latent there.
When you have wrong view and you do not know that it's wrong view, right? But Panya can see that that is not right. So if wrong view does not arise, and if Panya is not accumulated enough to see wrong view as wrong view, no eradication of wrong view. It's like lopa attachment. If lopa is not there, how can right understanding sees or understands lopa as just a reality, not me at all? So the truth of no self has to be from the very beginning developed little by little, so that what appears now, right understanding, can arise and become less attached by conditions. Little by little.
Hello. Kunsa Jin, you talked earlier on about upatti and those 10 chittas, and you mentioned another Pali word there.
Nipati.
Yes.
Can you speak about those? Elaborate a little bit more on upatti and nipatti.
Yes. Is the seeing now? Is the thinking now? Can thinking see? So thinking is not seeing, not upatti.
So upatti is seeing.
Clearer. It's just that which really sees.
And nipatti?
Thinking about seeing right now, it seems like there is seeing all the time. But at moment of being attached to seeing, it's not moment of seeing at all. That's why it cannot cease as seeing at all. That's why the 10 is quite different.
So the other 79, the nipatti.
Nipatti. Mm-hmm. It's so helpful to see the difference between each citta. Otherwise, there's no way to become detached from. Even seeing is very, very short. Just see, and it brings a lot of story, attachment, and the world keeps on going from seeing and thinking. All the signs or happenings, situations from seeing. Just one citta which sees.
And Lan, getting back to your earlier question, I think you have the idea that if you didn't have to attend to your business, there'd be more opportunity for kusala in your life.
Let's say if I don't have to spend time for unnecessary work or entertainment, then I will have more time for doing good deeds.
So more kusala.
It will be better condition for
kusala to arise.
Is that?
Last night you live alone in your bedroom. Time for kusala?
If I didn't
fall into sleep, then I may spend time to read or to be more mindful.
Alone with I. Attachment to the idea of self. No matter where. And if there is no understanding of whatever appears at any time, it's impossible to eradicate the idea and the clinging to the self. That's why it has to be so very natural.
Of course, the teaching of of the Buddha to develop the right understanding about the truth is the highest. But
starting from lower, little by little, until it grows high.
But it's the goodness, other goodness also necessary to support for the also necessary.
Yes, yes. Right now it's the best good deeds with right understanding. Otherwise, it cannot support understanding at all. When there is no hearing, no considering, no understanding of realities, it cannot support even its good deeds.
What's your idea of good deeds? When you say there'd be more opportunity for good deeds, what sort of good deeds do you have in mind?
Looking for other good deeds. And how can you be sure that it's good deeds? When it's akusala citta, it cannot be good deeds. And who can know if it's not panya, that at that moment it's not me and it's wholesome or unwholesome reality?
It's perfect that it can do good deeds with the right understanding of the truth every moment. But good deeds is still good deeds at some level.
How come right understanding of good deeds that it's good deeds?
We're not doing bad deeds.
Because good deeds is not you. It's wholesome, citta and cetasikas. If there is no understanding of citta and cetasika, are you sure that it's you who is performing good deed? Or right understanding can see whether it's good deed or not? Have you heard? I think that everyone has heard about the upadana khanda.
Yes.
Yes. What are they?
Upadana
khanda.
Clinging to the five aggregates.
Not only khanda, but clinging to khanda. And if there is no understanding of khanda, is there clinging to it?
Absolutely.
See? So now, what do you cling to right now?
Clinging to doing goodness.
What about
feeling?
What about kanda now?
Yeah. So Sanya,
yeah,
kanda.
Visible object now,
seeing now.
Can that be that
feeling
goodness only, Asha? Without the idea that I do or the mana that I do, then other don't do.
Before study the teachings, it's always I and you and her and she there. But after hearing the teachings, there's the beginning of thinking, not the direct understanding of reality, but begin to understand that what we take for he or she or I must be a reality. Without reality, there will never be anything at all. See the sound. Is it khanda?
Yes.
Does it arise?
Yes.
Does it fall away?
Yes.
What sound is that?
The sound. At first, the very moment, it is just a sound, and immediately after that, then the sound of birth.
Even when the sound hasn't fallen away yet, attachment is there. See how fast when we talk about upadana khanda. See, it's not just the word we read, but the understanding of such moment. See, upadana khanda already.
What do you say? The attachment already there when
before the sound has fallen away, there is akusala citta, attachment to such sound already.
You even mean the like or dislike already? Even in the idle process before there's even the beginning of any thinking about it in the mind or process. But it's just unknown completely.
Just enjoying.
Excuse me?
Just enjoying.
When you remember. When the sound is heard and you remember that it's a bird and it's a beautiful sound and that you like to hear it, it's all attachment, my like, my listening, my enjoyment, already. It's not even hearing any longer.
See, just a moment of hearing, only one citta. The hearing itself can hear. The other citta does not perform the function of hearing. This is life. From not knowing anything and hearing the teachings and begin to understand how the way the world is moving around with citta, chetasika, and rupa. With ignorance. People can say simply, avicca, conditioned sankhara, but they have no idea about when is avicca. So, when is avicca?
Sometimes it can be known, or most of the time it may be latent.
At moment of seeing, is there avicca cetasika with seeing, or moha cetasika with seeing? What did Buddha say? We have Dhamma as refuge, Dhammang saranang kacchami. Without the teachings, there is no idea or any understanding, even theoretical understanding, cannot arise. So
every moment it's just wrong view or right view.
I am talking just about seeing, whether there is moha jitasika accompanies seeing consciousness or not. See? Hearing. Can ignorance arise with hearing?
Only the seven universal
chetasikas arise with seeing and hearing, so no ignorance at that moment. But afterwards, when the javana chetas arise, then there is ignorance.
So afterward, then wrong view or right view, not the third case, only one. If there is wrong view, then there's no right view, and if there is right view, then it's no wrong view, right? Or it can not any.
Most of the day after seeing,
there is just attachment or ignorance following very soon afterwards. There doesn't have to be right view or wrong view. The tendency is there, but usually as soon as a sound is heard, there's just attachment immediately afterwards.
So the point is that if nothing is
known now about seeing and whether there is ignorance or attachment afterwards, how is it possible to know at another time when we think we are doing good deeds? How is it possible to know what kind of cheaters there are then? Because nothing is known even about this moment.
have an idea this is lazy situation or this is good situation or this is doing good deeds, but it's just thinking actually nothing known about the present citta now or then.
If so, then it may bring to the thing like that. Because it seems that doing good deed is for nothing. So no more good deeds are accumulated, which is also necessary for the recycle, the birth, and support to the better understanding.
Yes, of course, but what's the point of thinking about good deeds and wanting to make good deeds? And there are conditions, so good deeds is not thinking about making good deeds. You don't have to think about making good deeds to do good deeds. That's why I don't understand why you keep talking about it. Like the good deeds are bad, but nobody says that. But you're saying that we have to think about good deeds to, in order to do them? Is that what you're saying?
I think for me it's important that what Buddha teach about the, touch about the four things, which is wholesome, which is hasn't arise to arise, and what has the right to develop it, and the unwholesome, which is not yet arise to arise, not to arise, and what unwholesome already arise and not to develop.
Yeah? But is it the self that avoids? Is it the self? Is it you that avoids bad deeds? Or is it?
It's non-self, just doing good deeds only. Yes. Or
but who avoids good deeds and who does good deeds?
Just the citta, sikha and citta.
That's all, yeah.
But that's it is the better way to do good deeds than not do good deeds or do bad deeds.
So you don't want to develop more understanding of whatever appears.
Of course, I want.
So,
but not, develop right understanding why doing good deeds,
and why, when akusala citta arises, should we neglect to understand it? It's not self.
Of course not, but it is best.
It is better not to to create the condition for unwholesome to arise.
Any selection possible, choice or what?
Is there the choice only itself?
It cannot be eliminated at all if there is no understanding of no self. How can you eliminate the idea of I am doing good deeds? It's still you.
I still think that maybe there's a choice only or doing only, not that every time that it will be I do or we do.
And
even
when,
of course, at not at the complete level.
Can there be a moment of understanding it as a reality? Can or cannot? If there is no conditions at all, no matter how much one does good deeds, there is still the idea of self. Because no conditions to understand at that moment as not me, his reality is different.
You keep talking about good deeds and not kusala citta, akusala citta. So I just wonder whether you are overlooking the fact that even when we're not doing a good or a bad deed in a day, there is bound to be a lot of akusala throughout the day. Always, because of the accumulated tendency. You see, if we're a person who likes something, then whether we are working or not working, whatever we are doing, that tendency is there. If we like certain food, for example, and so whenever the food is before us, there'll be attachment. And if we're a person who gets angry easily, for example, then whether we're working at a job or doing good, doing so-called good deeds, having spare time to do good deeds in the day, that tendency remains. It doesn't change just because we are going to focus more on change our lifestyle in some way or other. And so I think we need to think more in terms of understanding more about the gusala and the gusala that arises already in a day than trying to do good deeds.
Is that the Buddha thought about or train the mind in the suttas?
First of all, we can't do good deeds or train the mind unless we know which moments are gusala, which moments are agusala. And we can't know that just by looking at what we are doing. Say, now we are having Dhamma discussion. It may be gusala, may be agusala arising at the moment. It's not guaranteed that when I'm doing a so-called good deed that the citta is gusala.
Yes.
Yeah. How will we know if we are doing more so-called good deeds whether there's any more gusala in the day? Because our natural tendencies are for attachment and aversion and ignorance. And do we know which moments in the day now are wholesome and which are unwholesome?
Any time it may or may not.
But do we know? We know now.
So, can we say a moment of kusala is a good deed? Yes. Yes. So, a person could work for a charity, for example, and have many more moments of akusala than kusala, but are they doing good deeds? Is a deed an action that takes a long time, or is it something that occurs now?
Of course, it is perfect if doing good deeds, which Buddha taught, with the right understanding.
And how can there be right understanding?
And it is perfect to develop the right understanding while doing good deed. Not only that, developing right understanding and without bodily goodness.
Can the good deeds be object of clinging?
It can be.
What kind of upadana khanda? Otherwise, it's useless just to read about the five and can say it out. But what about the understanding? So good deed or anything can be object of attachment, upadana.
Yeah, any
Anything can be the object.
So how can there be less upadana?
Only by developing understanding
right.
of realities now.
Mm-hmm. It's now good deeds.
It may or may not.
So when will it be good deeds?
Because even now I'm attending here, but I'm not attentive, or I may think unwisely. So it cannot be
right. But at moment of understanding, is it good deeds?
Yes.
Do you have more? And more and more. At moment of understanding, this is a developing of the conditions for seeing realities as it is.
So, what did the Buddha say were the conditions for more kusala?
It may not
the opposite conditions for unwholesome kusala.
Can there be moment of understanding realities which appear better than before in this life?
Can I say that?
Can there be moments of understanding realities better in this life?
It can be.
From what condition it?
It is one condition is considering about the Dhamma, but they might have a lot of other conditions which I don't know.
Should this be object of understanding, seeing visible object?
It might be.
Might? Or it should be studied with developing more understanding. By conditions.
Yes. And apart from hearing about
realities and considering and beginning to understand them, what other conditions help understanding? You said there may be other conditions, like what?
That I would like to ask Sachin.
The 10 parami.
Yes, then the 10 need to be developed.
Mm-hmm.
With understanding.
Yes.
They have to be with understanding. So if it is just dana and osila
without any understanding, it isn't a support for the understanding of the path, because what is known, nothing is known, they're still taken for my dana, my sila.
Yeah. But it's not that not doing dana or sila.
The great dana is giving away the self. Who would like to receive?
Why do you say that
whenever doing dana or sila, just not do without the understanding? It can be do with the right understanding.
What did you say again?
it's not that every time someone do dana or sila is doing without understanding. They may do with
joy understanding. Yes, but there is understanding only. But if there is no understanding, how can good deeds be done by understanding? Only when there is understanding. Understanding can arise any time at moment of giving or sila or any good deeds. But if there is no understanding, how can you say that sometime it can arise with understanding? When there is none, it's impossible. You ask many people on the street or everywhere, while they are good deeds, do they have right understanding?
Many people may do good deeds with the understanding at the level of doing good deeds only, without the understanding at the level of understanding the reality or the truth of liberation.
You mean understanding reality right now?
They may not have that
understanding. Without studying, without considering, without hearing the teachings at all? Or only those who see the value of each word of the teachings of the Buddha can understand the precious word like Dhamma? It means that no one at all. Dhamma must be Dhamma only. Paramada Dhamma, the reality, the element, which is not anyone control, under anyone's control. Now it sees, see? Now there is thinking by conditions. Anatta, no self. Who conditions such thinking or understanding or attachment? They are all Dhamma, conditioned realities. At moment of giving away things or dana, such understanding can arise naturally of whatever appears very shortly. That is with understanding, dana with understanding. So if we don't underestimate the understanding of each word of the teachings like upadana khanda, we begin to see that it's not enough time at all in one's life to study and develop right understanding. So begin now, and any time when the opportunity is there.
Question about upadana khanda. So we know that upadana khanda refers to the clinging to realities, but there can also be clinging to an idea, such as an idea of I am giving, and so this is an idea or concept based on realities.
Without so reality, there is no concept.
So it's just clinging to realities, mm-hmm. and based on that.
This now clinging, the upadana khanda, unknown, see? So that can be one question of about this or that.
And the same with wrong view. We know actually it's wrong view about a reality, so there can be wrong view about, there can be some wrong idea, but again, without reality, then no idea about this or that.
And when panya does not arise to understand wrong view as no self, it's impossible to eliminate wrong view. That's why instead of having khanda to be object of clinging, it can be object of right understanding, little by little.
couple of questions here from Nina. She mentioned that last January we discussed how often we cling to a self and how it's there all the time. This morning, she wrote, I listened to a Thai discussion. Someone thought that there is wrong view, ditti, with wrong view or with conceit. One can only know what type of clinging arises when there is sati sampajanya, thus through satipatthana. This is the answer, though through theory only, we shall not know which of these three appears at the present moment. I wonder if Ajahn can say more about this.
About
ditti, she's really talking about ditti, mana, and tanha without ditti, and she is saying that actually only when there is sati sampajanya developed, like at this moment, can it the panya know what the reality is, and she would like you to say more about it.
It's like this all day and all night when there is no sati sampajanya. Realities are there, unknown, no matter it's tanha or mana or ditti. Like we are now talking about citta and cittasikas, all are unknown.
So when something is unknown, is that not the wrong view and not the right view?
We cannot say whether what it is because they're unknown without sati sampajanya. For example, now if you ask whether there is wrong view or not, it's unknown. Only when sati sampajanya arises, it experiences with right understanding of such reality, one at a time. So it's quite clear at that moment whether it is wrong view or no wrong view.
And can we say that when, for example, there's trying to work it out by thinking about the situation, what it is that shows the clinging to self again?
Because wrong view cannot perform the function of right view, avicca cannot be panya.
And the other question.
The point she raised, it's not really a question, it's just a topic. Akusala karma pata, through the mind, I find a difficult subject. We discussed it last January shortly. Ajahn said that if you keep the wrong views about karma and vipaka to yourself, it's not a completed karma pata, only when it's proclaimed through speech. And then she gives a quote that I gave before. Perhaps Ajahn could add more. Can you give some examples of karma pata through the mind?
What about the miracle?
What do you mean by that? What about the miracle? What do you mean by that?
Concern?
So, for example, when
the Buddha performed various miracles, then this is an example of kamapata through the mind, because there's no speech or deeds at such a time. So usually, for example, if we talk about kamapata, for the kusala to be kamapata that can bring a result, it's not just having, for example, a wrong view about self, but if it actually conditions bodily deeds or speech, then it's kamapata that can bring a result.
Let's talk about kusala kammapata, which is not through deeds and speech, right now.
Like right understanding
now would be manokama, kusala kamma, without speech or deeds. Actually, the highest kind of kammapata, like when there's right understanding. Correct, Lan?
And when it's the person who trained the samadhi so great that they can create anything to harm the others, not through speech and deeds.
to harm others.
Yeah, so it's not necessary to talk about that, which not in our world.
So in our world, we can talk about kusala kamapata, such as moments of right understanding now, which no speech or deeds, but this is kusala kamapata through the mind, but actually no examples of akusala kamapata now through the mind, because in order for it to be akusala kamapata, like one may think of hurting the insect, unless one actually hurts the insect, it's not akusala kamapata. So no akusala kamapata through the mind in our world now in daily life. So these are the kind of examples meant when it's such high samadhi ability, akusala samadhi, that it leads to harming others through the mind. Is that correct?
To create fire, to burn, something like that, the forests and houses. See, what is not as difficult to understand reality right now, or try to think and understand that with the idea of self. So one has to know how great attachment with wrong understanding in one's life from eons and eons ago. And the best thing to do is trying to understand so that it can eliminate such desire or attachment to nonsense. Just that kind of thinking. It wasting time to develop right understanding. So we have to know that we are not Satiputta, not Mokalana, not his great disciple. So as much as there can be moment to understand whatever appears, to develop more and more is better than just trying to find out or to think about that with the idea of self. So when I read Tipitaka, or at the foundation, when we read the sutta, we don't try to remember all details, what the Buddha say, what the other say, but try to get the meaning or the understanding of the sense of the teachings.
Sarah, back to your statement about kamapata through the mind. I'm not sure I understand what you mean. Do you mean that like having a thought of killing an insect won't produce result, but the thought, if carried through in action through body or speech, could produce result?
So it's a little bit like we were discussing yesterday after the session about accumulated tendency and karma accumulating. So the wish to harm, that tendency, that akusala, it accumulates until eventually one day it leads to such deeds or actions. So when there is the actual killing, it's not like it's just happened out of the blue, because that tendency has been accumulated. So we can say it's like partial karma, but it's not complete karma that will produce its result unless there's the actual harming or taking of life at that time. It's just the accumulated tendency. So in a day there are lots of harmful thoughts and lots of thoughts of attachment, but usually it doesn't lead to the kind of deeds that will bring results. Like Yuan might have an idea of taking something in a shop so that a lobe accumulates, but only when one actually takes that item from the shop can it be the completed deed that brings result.
Sometimes do you think about giving away things all the time, but not give yet? Is it kamma, pata, or kusala, citta, or what? Can it produce result like the moment when you gave it? The deeds has been done. But when you keep on just thinking and not giving at all, otherwise one will have moments of kusala when just thinking about giving.
So in order to understand about the non-self, so can you say more about which conditions to bring up the accumulation or skin form in something? Let's say someone is seem to be talented or more skillful in this certain kind of thing, but not skillful in some other. So which conditions for that? Because normally it's easy to understand that because I have learned this or I have done this many times so that I'm skillful with doing that. But what is the right understanding? Which condition that?
So I think it's like we were
talking about yesterday evening about accumulated tendencies, and we were talking about Paktu Upanisya Pachya, natural decisive support conditions. So why some people kind, some people not kind, and like we just said about wishing harm or wishing to do good deeds, that tendency accumulates. So why some people are very skillful in one way or another, because that tendency, that habit has been accumulated from life to life. So this is why some people are very generous or some people are very mean, because of the accumulation through this condition, through natural decisive support condition.
Upanisaya?
Pakati, natural.
And Upanisya, decisive support. So Pakatu Upanisya Pachya.
So it concerned with the citta and citta-sika, which is accumulated, and it also concerned with the object?
It concerns the
citta and citta-sika only, which are accumulated. But for example, like now, why is the remembering about this object and not that object? And why is the remembering that I like hot water, for example, because the sanya has been accumulated to remember this object, or the thinking has been accumulated to think about this, the lobha has been accumulated to like this particular taste. But it's the citta and cetasika themselves that are accumulated. And this is why, how can understanding develop? Like yesterday, you asked several times, how can it develop? How can it develop? It develops by this condition, it accumulates. So by hearing what is right and considering now and beginning to understand that there is seeing at this moment, that understanding accumulates in this way by this condition. So this is why by understanding more about different conditions, one can see no self that can make any choice or decision at all, just different conditions at play, such as Pakatu Upanisya Pachya.
I wanted to ask you about the aspect of citta which accumulates.
Only kusala citta and akusala citta. Seeing cannot be accumulated. It's the result of karma.
So it's akusala and
akusala. And kusala, only. Yeah.
Thanks.
And also mahakriya of arahata.
Okay.
I have a question about giving, for example. Sometimes there's giving with the idea that through giving I will receive. And
can we say that that's buying?
That's buying.
Yes, you get what you want.
Yes. But my question is, when that type of action is done, what is the result of that? Is that will that giving in turn condition the giving in return or the receiving? Because many people go and they give alms and so on and so forth in order to receive good results, good rebirth, prosperity in other lifetimes.
There must be
There must be some giving, some
good deed, but it can be very weak. So the result will be very weak, not what they wish for at all, because actually it's motivated by wishing to get results for oneself. So, for example, I may give Jonathan a gift out because of attachment, because he's my husband, or hoping for something in return. So it's still a little bit of giving, but so weak, so the results will be very weak too.
Yeah.
And the akusala, the attachment,
or the wishing for results, will accumulate more akusala.
Have you heard about a rich one in Tipitaka that he didn't even give food to his wife? See?
Not even the weak.
So very stingy. He asked his wife to prepare a cake or something that he'd like to have just for himself, not even for his wife.
Cannot give even a tiny bit, even out
of attachment or anything, cannot share anything.
So that begs a question.
For me about that fellow in the Tripitaka. I think I know who you're referring to. What condition that richness from him? Obviously, he must have done kusala kamma in past lives.
Yeah.
But obviously, he's got a lot of accumulations for stinginess. So, could you speak to that a little bit more, Kunsujan?
Yeah. Can one know what is accumulated in one citta at a time? See? Lots of kusala and lots of akusala. So it depends on time and moment for what to arise.
And then obviously that will condition rebirth or not. Mm-hmm.
For example, seeing is the result of karma, right? Who knows whether this moment is the result of what kind of karma? Kusala or akusala? So we can know as much as that which has been accumulated to be able to know or to understand, not like Buddhas or his great disciples. As much as we can understand is that this moment, seeing is the result of karma. And when the object is unpleasant, it's the time for akusala karma to be conditions for seeing to arise. But who knows what appears, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant. So we don't try to think out. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. And after that man had listened to the teachings, he became Sotapanna. So we don't know what is there in a moment of citta, from moment to moment. That's why there are words like asaya, nusaya. Asaya is the accumulation of both kusala and akusala, but anusaya only the akusala.
Sorry, I didn't catch that word.
Asaya, nusaya. The combination of two words, asaya and anusaya. Asaya is the accumulation of kusala and akusala, but anusaya only kilesa or akusala. That's why there are seven anusaya.
And can you speak to those
seven
anusayas?
Okay. Kamaraka anusaya. What is that?
Sensuous clinging.
Ready.
Lust.
Just
any sense you're searching.
Any moment, any level of attachment.
Yes, karma. Karma is also everything in this.
Please.
Karma also means this plane, karma bhumi.
Raga is more of a fire.
It just means here. It just means loba.
It's another word for attachment. Kama raga, we see it. What's on the other?
Is which is visible object karma?
Is visible object karma? Yes.
Karma. Visible object, is it karma or not karma?
Visible object is, yeah, you can say it's a kusala or akusala.
No, visible object, that which is seen now.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Is it karma or not karma?
Well, you're talking about the result of.
No.
She's using karma, this word, not karma. Not karma.
Karma.
Sensuous realm. Karma. Yeah.
Is visible object now karma?
Yes.
Why?
Attachment.
Because it's the object of attachment. So, the visible object, sound, smell, taste, tangible objects are karma. Five karma kuna. Pleasant objects. Or even it's unpleasant, it's still karma. We cannot avoid karma to arise, and we cannot avoid attachment to that which appears. So karma can be the object, karma guna, and the attachment is karma, kilesa. So there are karma kilesa and karma wattu. Karma wattu is the object of attachment, and attachment is karma kilesa. But they are all karma because they are not the other realm.
Because they're not the other
realm.
Yeah.
I see your karma loka.
Karma loka, karma tatu.
And karma raga is only eradicated by the anagami, so very, very subtle attachment at that point to sense object.
So there's another word, karma sawa. See, you answer about anusya. Kama raga anusya is the attachment to kam, as anusya, rhythm tendency. And pawa raga anusya, pawa bawa. Bawa raga anusya, attachment to being. And tittasava. Yeah, and avichasava. By way of asava, therefore. And how many? By way of upadana.
Four
upadana.
Or by way of mind.
But different.
I'm not following you, you say, but different.
The four upadanas.
And the four asava.
They're different.
The kamasava and the kamupadana, the same. But it's clinging.
Yes, I understand.
Ka.
Okay.
There's no patika nusaya. There's no
patika nusaya. Patika nusaya. But no patika upatan. Not upatan, not asawa.
No,
no. So there are three jetasikas, which are asava, kamasava, pavasava, tittasava, avichasava, ready to come out, ready to arise by anusya. Unknown is there as soon as the object impinges on the five senses, ready to be attached.
And also when talking about the anusyas as
vichikicca, eradicated by the sotapanna, doubt.
You like the seven anusya? We talk about the first one, kamaraka anusya and pavaraka anusya. And what else?
Patika.
Mana anusya, titta anusya, what else? Avicca, another two.
The two we mentioned.
So, two eradicated by the sotapanna, ditti and vichikicca.
Vichikicca is
anusya.
Yeah. Yeah. Always. This is the difference between anusya and asava and upadana. Different degrees. As long as there's no enlightenment, there must be vichikicca. So it is vichikicca anusya and ditti or titta anusya.
And then eradicated by the anagamiya,
patika and kamaraga anusya, and then by the arahat mana avijja and bhava anusya.
It's easy to understand that someone has attained sotapanna, so there's no doubt anymore. So, but to understand rightly about non-self, so by which condition that after that there's no more some certain kilesas, right? Is that magga, pachaya, or fruits and magga and phala, pachaya?
Sorry, what was the question again? My question is that
it's easy to understand in the normal sense that someone has attained sotapanna, then there's no more doubt or there's no more some certain kilesa. But what is the right understanding about non-self, that by which conditions that
this sotapanna is the one, no more doubt, no more wrong view about self, no idea, no wrong view at all,
yeah.
Because the accumulated right understanding has developed to the degree, by the condition we mentioned, has to develop to that degree that it, at the moment of Maggacitta, realizes Nibbana, and at that moment of realizing Nibbana, at the moment of Maggacitta, that is when the latent tendency of wrong view and doubt is completely eradicated forever.
Yeah, so my question is that which condition that it never arises anymore?
Right understanding. Highest one, Lokuttara Citta. Lokuttara Panya, which can realize the Four Noble Truths, including Nibbana.
So,
one of the 24 pachaya, so is that the magga pachaya or what? Which conditions?
Right understanding is one of magga pachaya.
It is magga pachaya at that moment,
which eradicates by that condition the right understanding and its associated Eightfold Path factors that eradicates those tendencies.
So that is
the most crucial pachaya to
panya. Without panya, nothing can eradicate wrong view.
And what is the, so how does the panya develop? Only by the way we've been discussing, by accumulating from the very beginning now, otherwise can never reach that level.
Because I said it in order to understand about non-self, that there's no one has attained Arahantship or Sotapanna Sip, just conditions only. So my question is that which condition?
They are all together for Paramattha Dhamma. What else can be conditioned? And Panya is the chief. There are three stages of Panyindriya. Moment of Sotapatimagga Citta is the first one. Panya develops so great that it can discern the true nature of reality right now, as Buddha said exactly, each word. So we have to begin. What's the meaning of Dhamma? What is Dhamma? A reality. Can anyone make it arise? See, starting from the very beginning, what appears is a Dhamma. Seeing is a Dhamma. Visible object is a Dhamma. No one there. This is only theoretical knowledge. If you say, right, it's the intellectual understanding, right? Not the moment of penetrating that nature, that element which arises and see. No one there. And Panya develops to the degree until Vipassana Jnana arises, stage by stage, clearer and clearer, closer and closer, to become giving up all the idea of self, little by little, until the moment of Sotapatimagga Citta, experiencing Nibbana. Nibbana cannot be object of attachment or wrong view at all. So there must be Satyayana before Kichayana, before Katayana. The three rounds of the Four Noble Truths. It does mean that without the development of understanding from life to life, Panya gradually develops. It can understand the characteristic of Dhamma as not self, little by little. That which can be object of right understanding must be now, that which is now appearing. One day, not today, if the condition's not enough, who knows when will the right awareness arise? But the condition is developing understanding from moment to moment by hearing, considering. And then when right awareness arises, no doubt about what right awareness is that very moment. So there must be pariyati, condition patipatti, condition pativeda, stage by stage. And now is pariyati. And Priyati is not thinking by oneself. It's the developing of understanding from hearing the Buddha's words.
If the Magga Pachaya only arise for those attain one of the four Arians, and it that Magga Pachaya has effect since that moment later on, so that some certain Kilesa or Asawa never arise anymore.
Right, at that moment of when Magga-citta arises, those kilesa which are eradicated, completely eradicated, never arise again. But before that moment, it's not like there is no understanding or lots of wrong understanding of self, and then suddenly it's eradicated by that time. It's so subtle, and just the latent tendency is there, but that latent tendency is completely eradicated at that moment by the Magga-citta, by that condition, through right understanding. And then, and it conditions its result immediately, so it's the only citta that brings immediate result, the Pala-citta, the result follows instantly.
Other kinds of Kamapata bring the result
later, but the Magga-citta brings the result of that, the Vipaka-citta, straight away.
By way of Magga-citta,
without Magga?
No problem.
How can there be the realization of whatever appears now? And what are the makkas? See? Without understanding, we might think that this is makka, but it's not. So, what are the makkas? Not one. Eight.
There are also the
longer. Right. And wrong vimutti too.
Wrong liberation.
Liberation. I didn't know about wrong liberation.
Ten together. Wrong jhana and wrong vimutti.
Can you explain wrong vimutti?
People might mistake that they have experienced Ibadah.
Yeah.
So there are eight makkas.
Aryan makka. Eight Aryan. There are 12 altogether, but including the wrong makka.
So the Magga-citta has its influence, which after it arises, then some certain kilesa never arise anymore. So, I would like to ask about the, it seems that each Dhamma has its certain influence or power.
No more wrong understanding, no more wrong path. No more doubt about realities. But what about the other anusya? It's ready to condition akusala citta because it's not eradicated yet. So there's still kamaraka anusya to condition kamasava. As soon as something appeared, it conditioned the kamaraka anusya, conditioned attachment. So there is still attachment without wrong understanding. We because it has been accumulated, uncountable. No one can count moments of attachment. So it's still there. As anusya, to condition kamasava. And not only that, at the level of akusala as well.
So the asavas, the
subtle kinds of kilesa, like we discussed before about after seeing, sees visible object, and there's attachment instantly, completely unknown. This is the asava. So even though wrong view has been eradicated, still that clinging arises immediately after visible object is seen, like now, completely unknown.
So is there kamasava right now?
No need to think.
It's a Alberto and I were discussing a point which someone brought up from
it's just a detail from the Satipatthana Sutta under Vedana, which classifies Vedana, well, as sukha dukkha and neither sukha or dukkha, but it classifies them also as samisa and niramisa. So the translation here says pleasant worldly, but it's you were talking about the five kama guna, so what it says, the pleasant samisa is the attachment to sensuous objects, and the pleasant, what they call unworldly, so this is with nekama, so non-attachment, and then unpleasant worldly, so this is with unpleasant feeling to sense objects, and then when it has unpleasant niramisa, here they call it unpleasant unworldly, so unpleasant feeling not to sensuous objects. So what would this be? Because we thought at first that samisa and niramisa referred to kusala and akusala, but then it talks about the unpleasant feeling to the not the kama guna objects. What would this be?
If one has attained jhana,
yes,
and then no more.
Clinging to what mm-hmm. has been.
If we understand that clinging clings to everything except yes. Nibbana, it includes everything.
So it's specifically referring to jhana and the pleasant feeling, which it says is anima.
Yeah,
is this
but when
jhana?
There is the understanding of clinging as it can cling to anything.
Yes.
No need to try to classify.
Right.
Everything is there.
So, including jhana.
So, it's still akusala and clinging to
vipassana jhana or anything except the lokutra cittas and nibbana.
And Niramisa, still akusala?
Not there. Niramit means that which is not the kamaguna.
It's still akusala because
still
it's
akusala.
Unpleasant feeling, but the object of that citta is not the worldly object like, but say, jhana.
The meaning of niramisa?
Niramisa.
Yeah. Not the five sensuous objects.
But still akusala.
It depends on feeling and citta. When it's akusala, it has to be akusala, no matter what.